The Mike Missinelli Show.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Mike Missinelli Show. Day after the Eagles lose to the Kansas City Chiefs, and we will dissect every last little minute of it. That's what I'll tell you. I think it's unreasonable to think they should have won that game. Even though if you look at it over and over, you go, well, if they would have done this, would have done that, would have done that. Well, here's the point. The other team did anything they wanted in that game. And if your defense isn't going to stop them once, then you really don't have any chance to win the game, no matter how good your offense looked. And their offense looked a lot better. I thought the head coach had a more of a game plan to attack the Kansas City Chiefs, even though the Chiefs' defense terrible. And I thought the quarterback played well, except we can pick out a few things, and we will do those things. But here's the thing. A team that self-destructs like the Eagles did in certain situations is a team that's not buttoned down. They're not ready. They're not ready to win a game like that against the Kansas City Chiefs. So it is what it is. We have to look at this as a game-by-game season. And, yeah, you're going to be disappointed. There were a lot of people that were screaming on social media, they didn't do this, they didn't do that, they didn't run the ball. Well, first of all, they didn't punt. Okay, so did it really matter they didn't run the ball yesterday? If you're moving down the ball down the field the way they did, attacking them with short passes and RPOs, it's kind of the same as the run. I mean, Andy Reid used to do that all the time back in the day. So I didn't think it was a problem that they didn't run the ball. Now, the Miles Sanders things, maybe they don't trust them enough to run the ball, and we'll get into that a little bit. And people are complaining, we're no plays 15 yards down the field. That's probably not what the strength of what their offense is. But as long as they're moving the ball down the field and they're not punting, they're doing something right. It's just when you get to the situations in the red zone where you can't cinch the deal, that means you're not really capable of cinching the deal. I mean, let's examine it. First time they get down there, Hurts misses Ertz. That's a touchdown, right? But they're not there yet where Hurts is going to make that play, right? He's not seasoned enough where you're going to count on him to make that play. He's going to make a goof play like that overthrowing Ertz. Second time, the Ward. He didn't put the ball on Ward. Now, I know people say, well, you got two hands on the bush, you catch it. Maybe. But in a wide open receiver like that, you got to put the ball on him. There's no need to lead him like that. The little things that just miss for a team that's not buttoned down, that's not totally there yet and ready to win. The illegal man downfield. The illegal pick on the play. The stepping out of bounds by Devontae Smith. All of these things are you're not good enough. You just miss. Now, those last things come down to the coach. And while I'm going to compliment the coach for his game plan, those mistakes that they make of self-destructing and the penalties are on the head coach. I wonder, of all the stuff that we doubt Nick Sirianni about, I wonder if he's tough enough to get his team to play more disciplined. Because it certainly doesn't look like that so far. And he said something in the postgame that astounded me. And we're going to hear from him at 2:45, by the way. He said he doesn't like to discipline in practice because that then costs him a rep. What? Well, what? if you're not going to discipline in practice, you're not running the play the right way. Who cares about the damn rep? Let him sit down and watch another rep so you get it in their head not to do that anymore. I'm wondering if this coach right now is tough enough. We wondered about his effect on the roster and on players. Is he tough enough right now? I don't think he is right now. Can he grow into it? Maybe he can grow into it. But, like, here's what I look at and I go, they weren't going to beat that team. That team toyed with them. Anything they wanted to do, they did. So they were going to have to, and people were doing the math. Well, if we would have scored a touchdown here, we would have scored a touchdown here, we would have come out with more points to them. Guess what? They would have scored another touchdown to beat you. But the bottom line is you didn't score those touchdowns in those three situations because you're not ready to score those touchdowns. I take a realistic view on yesterday's game. Tyrone, you watched the game. Are you of the mindset that they could have won that game?
No. They couldn't win the game because the defense right now is terrible.
Yes.
It's the worst I've seen in this city personally I've ever seen. Now, there are people out there that think, oh, because they don't give up a bunch of big plays, which the stats say that this defense is acceptable and it's just the players, which is okay, except it's okay, except then, so that means I'm not allowed to notice that they give up 35 of their own, and then they come back and give up 42. Like, I'm not supposed to notice that, mm-hmm. that they do that. So I don't buy into the whole, you can't judge. All I can judge is what I see. And what I see from this defense, I see an offense that I saw an up. Only thing I needed from the offense was I'd only seen down. I signed up for ups and downs. I got an up. So fine on the offense. Like, on the defensive side, though, there are no ups. There's nothing good. And that Darius Slay is out of his mind on social media whining as if we didn't recognize that we weren't supposed to notice that they gave up 42 points on defense, and it could have been more. If you give up 42, you can't say you should have won. Period. Even with all those mistakes, if you give up 42, you're not supposed to have to score 45 to win a game.
Here's the question on the defense, because you're absolutely right. It's really ridiculous. So the question is about Jonathan Gannon. Is there any way for Jonathan Gannon to trick up this defense to the point where they could be effective, or do they just flat out don't have the personnel? And I look at their personnel, I go, they're not good. Their personnel, their linebackers are not good.
No.
Their defensive line has been not great.
Correct.
And certainly in the middle, Fletcher Cox has been invisible.
Correct.
But their defensive ends make two bonehead mistakes yesterday. And then the safeties, I go, like, I'm going, they have no personnel on defense.
That's fine. And it could be, he could be great, and it could just be the personnel. He only brought extra rushers twice. Now, mm-hmm. I understand you don't want to just blitz Mahomes nonstop, mm-hmm. but if you're giving up a touchdown every single possession, playing it straight up, a well-timed third down blitz, I'm not talking about blitzing all the mm-hmm. time, might be what you need to get a stop. My issue with him is so far is he just runs his base. It doesn't work, and we're supposed to say, oh, well, the players stink. That very well may be true, but he has to do something.
No, you're right
score
about
every
that.
Time they had the
you're,
ball.
You're right, and here's the thing about Jonathan Gannon. I think he's afraid to get burned. He's a new a defensive coordinator. He's trying to earn some stripes here. He would rather be that than to get burned with big plays so people make those stand out and go, this guy can't coach at all. I think both guys right now, the head coach and defensive coordinator, are a little too afraid to look bad.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. Because if you're going to give up, Dallas ran it down their throats. He kept those two high safeties the whole game, never changed. Now, the Chiefs, they did get the interception. But other than the interception they got, which was the first interception, by the way, of the year in mm-hmm. four games. And the corners and the safeties have zero. The only team left, by the way, where their corners and safeties have no interceptions. They're the only team left. But he also was asking them to just lay back all the time. And if they're going to score every possession, I understand if they had kept the Chiefs to even 31, I'd say, you know what? He kept them in the game. 42 points. And you go, my takeaway is supposed to be, oh, Coach did a hell of a job. I can't. I can't go there. There are people doing that. I can't do that. If you give up a touchdown every time they touch it.
5-5 in the red zone over the Chiefs. 9-10 on first down. And the thing about that is, the first downs weren't long conversions. They had one, I think, conversion 7 yards or more, and the other one was intercepted. But for the most part, they're going 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, and they're easy conversions for the Chiefs.
And that's where, if you blitz, I'm talking about once a quarter. How about 4 times you bring instead of 2? Maybe the guy throws, and you get 2nd and 10, and you get a 3rd and 7, like you just said. It's disturbing to me how different the team was. Where the offense, I came away thinking, man, mm-hmm. Smith, that was overall a really good, a big step-up game. Hurts, big step-up game for
yes,
the quarterback.
Absolutely.
Gainwell looks good.
Yep.
Goddard looks like he's earning himself mm-hmm. some money, playing well. Uh-huh. The offensive line with 4 new guys, relative to that,
yep.
played pretty well. Mm-hmm. And on the defense, everything terrible. That's still...
Yeah,
that's
so this is what they are, man. They're not a very good team. And I'm hoping that by the end of the year they can be decent. But, there's a lot of L's on the schedule with this kind of defense and this kind of growing pains with the head coach and little things like that. And we can go through all of them. You watch the same game. Jen, I know you looked at this game. We neither of us thought that they could win the game.
No.
Well, what was your assessment of the end product?
Well, I was glad to see that the offense looked much better than Monday night. And I feel like the past couple of weeks, we were always questioning, what does this offense, what is the identity of the offense? And now I think that is completely switched. And it's like, okay, well, now what is the identity of the defense? Because it was so terrible yesterday. But like Tyrone said, I was happy to see that the game plan was good from Sirianni, I thought. And Jalen Hurts looked really, really sharp. And it was not a regression. I feel like we took a couple offensive steps forward, which is good. I'm okay with the loss. Mm-hmm. As long as we keep taking some steps forward instead of backwards.
Yeah. He looked really sharp.
Relative to
minus points for clear touchdowns that he missed.
Well, he missed the Ertz one. Yep. He's too wide on the Ward one, and then the play calling got bad after that. So that for sure, but relative to him,
yes.
I can't, Mahomes was 80% yesterday.
Yeah.
And the stuff he's doing side, I'm drudging on a different scale. Relative to him, he was razor sharp in comparison to how it's been the previous
two question.
Weeks.
The short throws, the RPOs, that's what he can do.
Yes.
Now, can that last? Well, we talked about in game one. Could it last? I don't know. Win like this every week? Maybe they can't win, but that's the best offense they're going to put out there.
Right. And Devontae Smith, that was big. He had his worst game of short season so far, but of the first three, that last game, he was really beat physically against Dallas. Mm-hmm. Short week, he comes back, and he shows up. Now, the Chiefs defense, not good. But it was impressive to see him bounce back. He admitted after the game he has to hold the line and not get pushed out of bounds there.
Yeah.
That's some other stuff where these young, when you have so many, mm-hmm. all the receivers they have are young other than Ward. Their main three are young guys. So unfortunately, the mistakes are still being made from those young guys, Rager, him, and Quez.
Yeah. And listen, they got to be better coached because mistake, a guy downfield, a guy on a pick play, those are little coaching things. When you practice those plays, you make sure they're coached the right way. So that's been, Arthega Whiteside should know better, but he doesn't know better because he's not coached to be better in that spot.
Well, I think that some of that's him. I personally would cut him today. Not so much just because of one mistake. It's more like somebody has to be the fall guy. You're talking about being tough. I know he doesn't have a future. I'm not cutting Dillard.
Yeah.
First of all, Dillard didn't play a terrible game, made some mistakes, mm-hmm. but he wasn't awful like I thought he might be coming back for the second week. And they can't afford, they don't have enough guys. Lane Johnson mm-hmm. was just out. You can't cut him. You can't punish anybody else. Arthega Whiteside has no future in the NFL. I would move that along. His contract's guaranteed. He won't miss a check. I'd say thanks so much. That pick play that people were defending was a terrible play. He didn't even fake like he was running around, and he went above the shoulders.
It's an easy play to execute if you're a wide receiver. All you have to do is not that.
Right, just fake like you're running. Right.
It's mind-boggling to me.
And people,
the guy went to Stanford, for crying out loud.
And there are people in there, how dare you say that was a penalty? I go, because it was.
Yeah,
he extended his arms, it's above the shoulders.
I read the same thing. That's just being a homer. I mean, he got his arm right up in the guy's. You can't do that.
Above the shoulders?
It's clear.
It's a clear
penalty. All right, 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. You analyze what you saw yesterday. Where are you right now? They were better. They weren't expected to beat that team. And if you thought they should, I know. We need to have a conversation. It's the Mike Mastinelli Show. Again, 610-632-0975. It's rock and roll on the calls after this. All right, it's 2 o'clock hour, and don't go away because Nick Sirianni is going to have his presser, post-game presser, 2:45 today. So in just a little bit, keep it right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. The 2 o'clock hour of the show brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. If you're an HVAC contractor, you can get equipment, parts, and supplies for every one of your heating and cooling jobs. If you visit one of Ferguson's account locations, Ben Salem, King of Prussia, Pensauken, Westchester. Let's start the Twitter poll. Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown brings us the Twitter poll. If you're looking for new outdoor power equipment, there is no better place to go than Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown. You can order online at paulbmoyer.com. Jennifer Scordo, today's Twitter poll.
Alrighty, will the play of the Eagles defense cost them winnable games in the future, like Panthers, Raiders, Lions, Washington, Giants, Jets, etc.? We have 22% saying no, they will improve, which means 78% say yes, it is horrendous play here in these early votes.
Okay, sounds good. I did not mention that the baseball season's over. It ended unceremoniously yesterday before about 10 fans.
That's pathetic, down in Miami.
So sad.
It also ended with Bryce Harper getting a skinhead cut. which, I mean, that was very shocking to me since he's a hairsman.
Yeah, but...
You know, he's a headband hairsman.
Yeah, it might be something going on.
Is that to shave the stink of the season away, you think?
Probably.
Start anew?
Start anew,
start
and then
fresh.
By the time he comes back, it's grown back nice by spring training.
Okay, well, it
ain't said the right things afterwards, I thought.
He did, and you know, he echoed Mike Mussinelli's philosophy. We need guys to come up from the minor leagues that can have success for us. In other words, he said that we need starting caliber players, not fill-ins.
Right,
basically, is what he said.
Yeah, but he's also talking about also a mentality. Like when Neris came out the game, people know he did this big embrace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Neris is probably his last game. He set the franchise record for strikeout. Yeah. But I think what Harper was talking about also is Neris was the type dude that always took the ball. He never complained. So apparently there's some guys in that locker room, in that clubhouse, who don't really want the ball, don't really want to play, and they're not really like Harper. I think he was also calling out some of the distinct stunk of the attitudes of guys. Apparently Alvarado is one of those guys.
Uh-huh.
There's some guys that were playing that don't really or aren't, quote, gamers. And I think he also wants these young guys to have a different mentality.
Wants dogs, he said.
Yeah, when you come up here, don't be coming up here thinking, you know, trying to fit in. Go out there and try to show out. And I think it was so yes, you're right about the talent part, but I think he also means, like, don't be up here thinking you're a platoon guy. Like, come up here, try to be up to play every day. And apparently there's some guys, I need a day off. Oh, coach, my arm's sore. And he doesn't like that.
Yeah, well, shuffle the deck. That's what I say.
They're going to do. I think they're guaranteed pills. To do so.
Yeah. All right, 610-622-0975. Eagles lose, 49ers. Expected. But they didn't cover either. You know, there was a garbage time touchdown that they scored. The Chiefs did anything they want and kind of laughed about it. So let's go start things with Avery in Sicklerville. Avery, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Avery.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's going on?
Yeah, I was watching the game, and I noticed that we had three legit touchdowns, but then for some reason the refs just took them away, and I was like,
for some reason? For some reason, they took them away because there was a penalty.
Oh, like, I was just thinking, like, it was like a random, it was just weird to see them just, like, all those penalties. Like, even if we got those touchdowns and the penalties didn't count, I still feel like for this game, we probably would have lost.
Yeah, exactly, would have lost. But let's look at a good team doesn't do that. A good team doesn't come out with three field goals there because you can't cinch the deal.
Yeah,
they're not a good team.
Like,
they're not there yet. They're not buttoned down, Avery.
They're not a good team if we all feel like we have the most penalties, which for some reason...
Well,
it
goes hand in hand, doesn't it? A team that's a good team doesn't do that kind of stuff.
What do you think our chances are for the next game against Panthers?
They could beat Carolina.
I mean, you're not going to beat the Bucs next Thursday, but I think you could pull off with Carolina.
Yeah, they're going to be in that game against Carolina. Carolina's a 4-point favorite. The game surprised me a little bit, but the Eagles can go and win that game.
Yeah, but the game was actually impressive and surprising because they were like starting to ball up. It's just all those penalties just killed them at the end.
Yeah, just don't do it. See, that's my point. Don't do it. It's not the referees in that situation. It's the Eagles.
Yeah. If they get the 500, I think that would be considered a win for the season.
500? Well, it can't be 500.
They're not going to make the playoffs.
You like 8-9 or 9-8 because it can't be 500?
Well, 9-8 would be...
9-8 has no chance of happening. It has no chance of happening. Sorry.
No way.
Because, listen, I got to be honest with you. The way they are now, you can't count on them beating Washington twice or beating the Giants twice.
No. I'm only saying they could beat each once.
Yeah.
So that's two. So they're at one.
I mean, a lot of people thought, they're going to sweep those teams, right? That's not going to happen.
Not the way they play defense, no. And offense is inconsistent. But so you got one already. I think you get two more in the division. That's three. I do still think the Jets is a win. That's four. The Lions, I still think, is a win. Five. And then can they beat the Raiders or the Broncos or Carolina? Like, that's
that would be six.
And that would be six. Yeah. And if they can beat two of them, then it's seven. Yeah. That's to me still where they're at. They're not the worst team in football, but they're also not. No week is a sure
bet. Here's the thing. How can their defense improve to the point where they are representative in instrumental in winning games?
I think what they're going to have to be is they're going to have to find some young guys. Like, Taylor, the linebacker, for example, you're mm-hmm. asking me, or Milton Williams comes into his own, and these players start to be opportunistic and mm-hmm. force turnovers. Okay. I don't think they're going to be force a punt defense, but if they can become younger players, we know the current crop can't do it. So it needs to be players who aren't playing a lot now, starting to play more, and then becoming playmakers. Taylor being the obvious one because he's a fast linebacker.
Savion Glover.
For example, if he starts playing every down because they're playing the base, they go five D backs, they go four down, they go two linebackers, and they play it the same way every damn down. That's what they do.
Yeah.
So somebody who plays a lot is going to have to become a playmaker. And I don't know if it's possible, but I guess I can't say it's impossible because I haven't seen the guys play yet.
Yeah. That Chiefs seems a nightmare to play.
They
just thought, there's nobody covers Tyreek Hill. They're both are running backs run hard. The tight end is always like in the picture. It's tough, man.
Yeah, and Kelsey.
And the quarterback's great.
Kelsey didn't do a whole lot, but then that opened it up. And they didn't give up a bunch of big plays. The problem is they also couldn't get any negative plays.
No.
They couldn't get a sack. Mm-hmm. They couldn't get a tackle for loss. They couldn't get any negative plays. So they were just steadily moving forward nonstop. And apparently the defensive coordinator says, this is the plan. And I don't like that plan.
See, that dude is the perfect quarterback for this league. Because he can deliver the ball any way you want it, but also he's got nimble feet that can get out of there.
Yeah.
You know, like he's not Jalen Hurts where he's going to really hurt you and tuck the ball in the zone, but he's nimble enough to get out of there and you're not going to get him.
Yeah, in some ways his limitations like that help him because he knows he stays in the pocket longer. And then he saves it for that last second while other guys get out of there quicker because they have more ability, more confidence in their running. In some ways, he is the perfect quarterback. If anybody's going to take the crown from Brady, it's that guy.
Yeah, the dude is just
different.
Yeah.
Sidearm angle hard throws. I've never seen the sidearm hard throws.
He does amazing things.
With zip on them on the sidearm.
Let's go to Steve in Downingtown. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Steve?
Disappointed, of course, but I expected a loss. You know, I didn't expect a win. But, you know, we got one man on defense, and that's Hargrave. That's it. Let me ask you this. Did Fletcher Cox even touch a Chief?
No, he is really struggling. And, at his age, I got to be honest, you know, we've seen this before. Guys at a certain age, they just hit a wall. He may have hit that wall.
Oh, man, hit a wall. He down in the hole. Anyway, let me ask you this. How many times does it take until they catch on to that shuttle pass?
Yeah, well, Andy, that's an Andy Reid special.
Yeah,
he's run that 100 times in his career.
And you probably watch films on it, so you know.
Yeah, you too. You should know it's coming.
Yeah, in the red zone especially, you know?
Yep.
And how many times were they there in the red zone?
Yeah, they disguise it well enough where they could actually get away with it against a lot of teams. As I say, Andy Reid has made that a staple of his offense.
And that's where Fletcher Cox would come into play. He can't even get a hand on anybody.
No, he's been bullied out of there. And listen, man, it happened. You hit a physical wall in this lifetime in the NFL.
Yeah, he got his money.
And he's been pushing against these big offensive linemen for a lot of years.
$100 million.
Yeah, well, if you look at the price tag, then you're disappointed. So you have a right to do that.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Mike.
All right, Steve. You got it. You know, the offensive line, too, as I feared at the start of the season, chisel, and then all of a sudden it's not the same. And yesterday, I don't know what the circumstances are with Lane Johnson. I don't know if we'll ever find out. It's very peculiar, but, you know, I can't make a comment on it. A lot of people it's unacceptable. You don't know it's unacceptable because you don't know what the personal problem is. If you find out the personal problem is, you go, oh, now I understand. But I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I asked a lot of people, and Derek Gunn on the pregame show asked a lot of people. The Eagles are keeping it very tight. If Lane wants to tell us at some point, Lane will, mm-hmm. but no one from the Eagles apparently will, unless Lane says it's okay to.
Yeah.
So none of the media people knew. There was no leaks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people were looking at it like, well, at least it wasn't the ankle, so he could be back. But if it's bad enough for him to miss a game, and the guy doesn't, he's only missed games due to injury or suspension, it's probably something, unfortunately, pretty bad.
It's a kick in the wazoo to lose that guy a couple hours before the game. So, yeah, I mean, they tacked it together pretty well.
Yeah, credit to Driscoll. Credit to Herbig. I didn't know what to expect from those guys. And Dickerson looked more comfortable, for whatever reason, on the left side than he did the right side. It could be just another rep of football, another game of football. So he might have just had his legs under him. But he looked much better. A step back from the left tackle. He wasn't as good. They need my lot of back. Dillard was not as good this week as he was against Dallas. But the other guys held up well.
Driscoll held his own on that right side.
He wasn't bad. A lot of credit to Kelsey for calling out the right line calls, because he's the only one out there, and he's basically holding everybody's hand at this point.
Yeah. One open line, 610-632-0975.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, our next guest, he joins us every Monday for the little post-game analysis. After we get his pre-game analysis on Friday, he, of course, said, well, I tell you what, he was tweeting up a storm about the lack of running game. He, of course, is brought to us by DraftKings Sportsbook. Brian Westbrook joins us. Hello, B. West.
Good afternoon, Mike and Miss. How you doing, my friend?
We're doing good here. Now, you know, that was an unavoidable result, I thought, on Sunday. But there were two things that I liked out of it. I thought the head coach grew a little bit and used what his quarterback and his offense does best to move the football. And the other one, I thought Jalen Hurts played a very good game. What were your thoughts on this?
Well, I agree with you on both accounts there. You know, the biggest thing in my mind was Nick Sirianni did a great job, especially early on, spreading the ball around. Everyone was getting touches. They were moving the ball effectively because of that. They kept the defense off, you know, they were off balance pretty much early on in that football game. And because of that, they were able to move the ball effectively. They spread them out. They ran draws. I mean, they also ran screens. They ran a lot of different things that keeps the defense off balance. And because of that, they had some success moving the ball up and down the field. Now, truly, I think Jalen Hurts probably had his best game. I mean, he put up numbers, but he controlled the game. He was in rhythm. He did all the things that they were asked of him. And because of that, he looked good out there on Sunday.
But you were bothered by the lack of Miles Sanders not getting the football, which a lot of people have echoed.
Well, I mean, I think he's a playmaker. I think he's a guy that can be a game breaker. We saw that last year. He would be one of the guys I want to get touches. But I also understand why they try to have Kenny Gainwell in the game. He gives you a different dynamic where if you want to throw the football, like Nick Sirianni clearly does, he gives you a dynamic of a guy that can line up on the outside, can line up in the slot and run routes. He's going to catch the football and get upfield. You also, with that same defense on the field, because you didn't substitute, now you can put him in the backfield and run the football as well if you ever choose to do that. And so he gives Nick Sirianni some versatility that at this point Miles Sanders does not.
All right. Now, obviously, the three touchdowns that were missed and had to resort field goals, and it was because a lot of it was because of undisciplined players and a team that's not buttoned down that self-destructs in that particular situation. Good team scores touchdowns. A team that's, you know, feeling its way does not score touchdowns where they're prevented from scoring a touchdown by an illegal man downfield or an illegal pick or a receiver stepping out of bounds. So, where are they at this point?
They're still at the same point, still growing, still making some early, and I wouldn't say rookie team mistakes, but making some young team mistakes. All those things that you just outlined are young team mistakes that cost you football games. If a couple of those touchdowns are made, obviously the game could have been different. And so because they're making those mistakes, they have to continue to work, still learning, still very young and new at some of these things, at some of those positions as well. And this is the process. It's a process for this football team. It's not going to happen from week to week. It's going to take some time for this process to be completed. And I think that we saw some growth. I am excited about that. I think we saw some growth this weekend. It just didn't turn out to be a victory for us.
Here's my problem that I can't get past here with Sirianni. All these mistakes are because they're in my view, they're not coached up tight. And they're allowed to make these kind of mistakes. Nine more penalties is not a well-coached team. And I'm wondering if you see him as a young coach, but one who also holds his players accountable for these type of mistakes. I'm not seeing that so far.
Well, everything that I can go by is what he has said. What he has said is that he's going to hold guys accountable. They shouldn't be making the same mistake twice, that the fundamentals are important. We saw a team that looked fundamentally sound in that first week. And since then, we've seen them come apart. And so I think he's going to have to go back to the drawing board of holding guys accountable a little bit more than he has in the last couple of weeks, because it's clear on film that these penalties continue to happen, and they are correctable. They are things that disciplined football teams do not do. That's something that he's going to certainly have to work on.
What did you think of Devontae Smith in this game? Obviously his best game.
He ran some good routes. He got some separation. The cornerbacks were not as physical with him, which I think plays into his favor. I still think he can be a little bit better. And listen, he was good. I still think he can be a little bit better, stronger at the catch, a little bit better after the catch as well. But listen, he had a great game. They got him the ball an awful lot, a bunch of targets, which you're going to have for a guy of his caliber and skill set. But, I mean, I think it was a really good game for him, another stepping stone for a very young player.
Brian, let's talk quickly about the defense here. And, you know, I look at them and I go, they don't have a lot of playmakers on defense. But
no. The
coordinator is really passive and does not attack. And I'm wondering if there's anything that could be done that's in his responsibility to make a kind of a mediocre, talented unit better.
Well, I think there's a couple things working against this defense. I don't know that they have the personnel to run this style of defense. A lot of times we see him in the 3-4, then obviously they switch down to the 4-3. I'm not sure that they have 3-4 personnel right now. And in order to play the 3-4, you know, of course you're going to have that type of personnel. They don't have that right now. So it's going to take some time for them to get the type of players that they need in to play that type of defense. But, you know, I think you're going to have to do some things different. And here's what I would do different. If I'm seeing Patrick Mahomes just, you know, they're finding ways to find holes in the zones and different things that we were doing defensively, I'm going to change it up. I may have to blitz a little bit. I may have to bring a little bit of pressure. And I know you don't want to do that every down to Patrick Mahomes, but, I mean, you have to keep him off guard. You have to keep him honest as well. And that means you can't always sit back in the zone and accept basically whatever they're going to do and then come up and make the tackle. I think you have to pressure him. And, you know, there were some times where he ran out of time because the coverage was pretty good. They had a lot of guys back in the zone, and he was able to scramble a little bit. Our defensive line has to play a little bit better, I think, for us to be more effective defensively.
All right, so talk to me about Fletcher Cox.
You know, listen, Fletcher has to play better. I mean, he has to play better. I mean, and you have to also understand what we're judging him by. We're judging him from an all-pro standard. That's the standard that he should be judged by. That's because he's that type of player. So he's just playing okay. He's not playing up to that standard right now. He can be better. He's going to get double-teamed the same way that Aaron Donald gets double-teamed, because he's a special talent. And because of that, he's going to have to make plays when he's not double-teamed. He's not getting double-teamed every single play. So when he's not double-teamed, there are plays there for him to make. And he just hasn't made them yet. So he has to play better. He's also a vet. And I truly believe that September, you know, I know obviously yesterday was October, but September is kind of the new August. And so he's kind of rounding his way into shape, not a bunch of work in the offseason as far as the preseason games. I think he'll be better, much better down the stretch of this season. He needs some time to get going, but we expect much better play from Fletcher Cox.
You know, listen, you played in the NFL for a long time. You see what attrition does to players. Does it look like he has anything physically left for that?
I still think he can help this team. There's no doubt in my mind that he still can help this team. You know, Hargrave has played well. Now Fletcher has to increase his level, and I think he will.
All right. On another note, I saw that you did attend the game and you hung out with Shady McCoy for a little bit. What can you share any conversations you may have had with Shady?
No, man. No, but you know what? He gave me his resume for the Hall of Fame, and I know Friday. I didn't think that he was the Hall of Fame.
He got word of that?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was asking about. I was like, man, you think you're a Hall of Fame guy? And you know, listen, you know, almost 12,000 yards rushing. A bunch of yards receiving, a bunch of touchdowns. I mean, you certainly can make the argument for you, and he made a compelling argument. So I had to go back and look at the numbers again. And I'll tell you, He has a bunch of receiving yards, and of course there are 1,100 yards or so, 11,000 yards rushing. That's nothing to sneeze at either. Six-time Pro Bowler. I mean, listen, he's a great football player, no doubt about it. So, I think you can, he certainly can make that argument for the Hall of Fame.
Okay, so you've revised your opinion a little bit.
Yeah, I probably needed to go back and look at that again, and I did, and I think you certainly can make that argument.
All right, last thing is, did you get a chance to catch up with Andy Reid?
You know what, I did not. I did talk to Andy this morning. I didn't get down on the field to see him at the game. I really was joking with him this morning about all those doggone shovel passes that he was running. And, you know, he loves Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He obviously had a big game yesterday compared to him to myself, but Andy is a good man, and he's always been solid with me. And so I certainly had to shoot him a message this morning about those shovel passes that he absolutely loves.
By the way, a pretty successful weekend for you with the picks, except for the big game.
What was that?
Well, that was the Patriots and the Bucks.
I know.
Tommy Brady, you backed them.
Tom Brady's he let me down. I'm disappointed. Winning by 2 points? Oh, come on, man. I thought he wanted to rub Bill Belichick's nose in the dirt. And he didn't do that. And then Mike, after the game, he met with him for a couple hours. Come on.
Yeah, but then he got soft.
Yeah, what's that all about? I need you to be nasty, aggressive, Tom. Not this guy that only wants to score 19 points in a game.
All right, man. Good stuff. We will talk to you on Friday.
All right. Take care, man.
Ryan Westbrook.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, yeah, it's a Monday, and that music introduces a little something we do every Monday, 3:30, called Around the NFL. It's brought to us by Farron Electric from Recess Lighting and Chandelier, or fixture installation, home automation, and landscape lighting. Farron Electric can give your home an upgrade inside and out. Schedule a consultation at Farron, F-A-R-R-Y-N, electric.com. Oh, we always start Around the NFL with a prelude, small one today. What in hell are the Steelers going to do about a washed-up Ben Roethlisberger? That franchise is a mess right now. All right, let's start our recap here. Five things that piqued my interest this weekend in the NFL. Number five, Carson got his first win. Yay! Have I told you lately that I love this guy anymore? Well, in any event, well, we move on. The quarterback-less Dolphins were beaten by Wentz and company on Sunday, 27-17. And Wentz had a decent day. 24 for 32 for 228. Had two touchdowns, no interceptions. But he got big help on the ground from Jonathan Taylor, who rushed for a buck three. But Carson hit this big pass to Mo Alie-Vaxxed. I mean, Mo Alie-Cox for a big touchdown.
Wentz protected. End zone. It is caught. Mo Alie-Cox with a touchdown snatch.
Yo, it was great. Add to the score. Cox humiliated the cornerback and tried to guard him with the hand held low, like the NBA. You're too small gesture. That hurts, but very effective. Number four. Oh, my. The Arizona Cardinals. Could they be real? In a monster test on Sunday, the Cards romped the previously undefeated Rams in L.A., mind you, 37-20. Kyler Murray's a special dude. Threw for 268 and two touchdowns. Scampered for 39 more on the ground. His playmaking ability is off the charts right now. He's even squeezing the last bit of football out of A.J. Green. Here's Murray connecting with Green. 41-yard touchdown right here.
Third down and six from the plus 41. Murray rolls to his right. Sets his feet to throw. Looking vertical. Right side. A.J. Green has the catch at the five. He carries David Long Jr. into the end zone for an Arizona touchdown of 41 yards.
That might be the Rams announcer. I'm not sure. The Cards racked up 465 yards of offense against the Rams, who last year were pretty stout on D. Not this year. All right, number three. What's going on in the NFC East? Let's check up on it. The Washington football team, they were stone beaten on Sunday. Somehow they rallied to beat those Cloud of Doom Atlanta Falcons. Taylor Heinicke, who grew up in Atlanta, had a bunch of fam and friends there, fashioned a fourth-quarter drive that ended with an ad-libbed 30-yard touchdown pass to J.D. McKissick with 33 seconds left. Washington won the game 34-30. Here's the play.
Third and seven. Heinicke all day to throw. Nobody open. Now McKissick pops free, and he found him. McKissick runs through the tackle, down the sideline. McKissick going airborne. J.D. McKissick.
Wow.
The officials confer, and it is six for Washington.
Pretty good play. Washington now 2-2 on the year, eh? All right, number two, New Dorp, New York. See, Jen, that's a song by UK grunge hip-hopper Subtract.
Okay.
In case you didn't know, my way of paying tribute to the Jets and the Giants, both getting a win on Sunday. And both were exciting finishes. First, the Jets. They beat the Titans 27-24 in overtime after Titans kicker Randy Bullock missed a 49-yard field goal. But rookie quarterback Zach Wilson was big in this game. 21-34 for 297 yards and threw this brilliant delivery for a TD to Corey Davis where he was just waving Davis. Keep going down the field. Go ahead.
On the move. A lot of time. Directing traffic. Gonna go deep. Has a man deep. It is. Caught for the touchdown. Corey Davis.
The great throw, by the way. And a great catch by Corey Davis. All right. Number one. Say what, Tyrone? Saquon. That's right. Big day for Saquon Barkley. Little by little, regaining the form from that torn ACL injury from last year. Saquon Barkley, 52 yards rushing, but 74 yards receiving as quarterback Daniel Jones had a monster night. Threw for 402. Big drama late in this game. Giants came back from 11 down in the fourth quarter, helped by this play.
Jones at first down, wide open, it's Barkley. And Saquon Barkley will take it into the end zone for a Giants touchdown, 54 yards.
For the glory of Allstate, Giants got it in overtime. And then there's that man again.
First and goal from the New Orleans 6 as Barkley takes it to the goal line. He's in. Giants win in overtime.
Ball game, the G-Men win the game, and I think that's about it for Around the NFL today. Brought to us by Farron Electric, from recessed lighting and chandelier or fixture insulation to home automation and landscape lighting, Farron Electric can give your home an upgrade inside and out. Schedule a consultation at FarronElectric.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.